The Bartsies are attacking.
What's the message?
Something about Bartsies. Bartsies attacking with their Bud Marines. It's a load of nonsense, sir. Ridiculous. Back to work, everyone.
World War flu. The man who agrees with nothing gets married. Do you, sir, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?
No.
Oh, Stephen.
No, I'm not Stephen.
Stephen, I thought you loved me.
I don't love you.
Boo!
You know my ways by now. I can't agree with anything like that. You have to phrase it better.
Do you not take this woman to be your wedded wife?
I don't. Hooray!
I don't not take this woman. Is that right? Legal team? Legal team, we're confirming.
It
yes.
Seems to, it's not traditional, but it seems to make sense. Yeah.
Why are you marrying this mad lady?
I've got very low self-esteem.
No, you don't.
World War Blue, mermaid auditions for mermaids on ice.
What do you mean I need legs? I'm a real mermaid.
Well, I mean, if you look at all of the other competitors, they're all wearing sort of blades that they are slicing around on the ice with.
Yeah.
How do you propose to do that?
I'm a mermaid!
With your big fishy leg.
I'm used to the sea.
Your big
what
leg.
Is ice but the low energy sea?
It's very different. You can't swim about on top of there, floundering around.
Look, I appreciate your point. I haven't got legs, but I am the one woman in here who is actually a mermaid. Does that count for nothing?
What I'm going to offer you is we can pop you in a sled and just sort of lead you around the ice. And everyone can cheer and you can wave. How's that sound? Is that a compromise?
Well, I was going to ask a favour, actually. I've got this mate, he's a walrus. He doesn't get much work since his taxi firm dried up. I was wondering if he could just sort of slide across the ice periodically.
Have you got any training? Welcome aboard.
Hooray! Stick it in your face, two-leg bitches!
And now presenting a real mermaid.
Woo!
I don't. If you could go into space, but you could only do it in a ship with a crew that are constantly pretending that there's been a malfunction, you're about to die, would you go up into space when you're... I mean, it's difficult. Even though you'd know, I think they'd be constantly doing it and you'd start to believe.
Yeah. Were they good actors? Did one of them have like a penchant for William Shatner? Because I couldn't handle a William. Oh, no, Jay. The ship is collapsing.
Collapsing? I can't.
You're a shit, William Shatner. I am panicking.
No, yeah, the entire crew has been trained at NASA via RADA.
Yeah.
So they're all really, really convincing.
I think that would be quite good.
It would be so stressful, you know, though, because you'd be
day three when they're weeping and they're coming up with increasingly elaborate plots.
Yeah. I hate to tell you this, Jay, but some sort of creature appears to have got onto the ship, and you're going to have to go into the air vents to try and find it. I've given you this beeping location.
That's aliens.
No,
bored yesterday. At least come up with your own plots.
Okay, well, there's a ship that's been to hell, and we're going to find that ship. That's Event Horizon. Well, there's a what if there's an asteroid? Got to stop the asteroid. Yeah. Because I do imagine you'd be going up, and they'd sort of go, "You looking forward to your trip, Jay?" You'd be like, "Yeah, really, really looking forward to it." They'd be like, okay, and we just hit it. Oh my god, there's been like, and they'd be like, they'd have set an alert off, and there'd be lights flashing. Like, oh god, Jay, something's gone wrong with the fuel tank. If you've got anything you want to say to your mum, say it now.
Yeah.
And you'd be sort of blubbing down the phone that they've got in the rocket.
Yeah.
And then, got you, mate.
I think what I would do is react really inappropriately to all the scenes. So they're like, we're all going to die. And I'd be like, woo!
still a girl with no, yeah.
And then be like, you know, thank God we're saved. And start blubbering and
yeah. So they'd have to keep it up to keep you happy. You were so sad. Even going into space, you're so sad about your own existence.
Yeah, and also I could see my bad acting ability slowly chipping away at their humanity.
Yeah. Fight fire with fire.
I'd get William Shatner's number and I'd get advice from him on a daily basis, because if one of the few advantages of being in space is people want to take your phone calls. You know, as long as it's not reverse charges.
Yeah.
Steven, there's space on the phone. Oh, yeah, all right. You know, that's way better than Peckham.
Yeah.
Space Peckham. Whoa.
Oh, well, that's a whole
yeah, that's what, that would be cool if you could get like in a spaceship and be like way out in the galaxy and be like, this is a totally new nebula and no one's seen it before, and go, I named it Peckham!
Yeah.
New Peckham!
Clapham!
This planet here is the High Street!
Yeah.
And ideally, one of those planets would support human life.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there'd be generations cursing you.
I live in New Clapham.
But conversely, it might make Old Clapham quite cool. In the way that New York made York really cool.
Reebokly.
Made it a cool hub.
But Reebokly, they might just get used to it.
Yeah.
It might mean nothing to them. All things are transient, even Peckham.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not Peckham, though. Maybe
Peckham's the only thing that isn't transient. Everything else is transient.
When the Earth, like, ceases to, you know, it's sort of collapsing into itself, climate change, and there's humans going, ah! There's just a row of chicken shops that remain undamaged.
What do you mean, I need legs?
Meanwhile, in Dr. Catastrophe's lair... Well, Super Fawn, now your hooves are secure. Behold my latest diabolical weapon, empathy spray. You see, what will happen, Ford, is I will spray people with this empathy spray, and then they will be overcome with a need to be empathetic and will agree with everything I say. I'll be able to take over the world with no resistance.
That seems incredibly unlikely.
Now, behold the spray. Shh.
Can't believe it. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It's definitely going
to
work.
I'm going to roll into New York with tanks of this shit. I'll be like, give me the city. And they'll be like, no, it's our city. And then they'll be, shh, give me the city. And they'll be like, well, maybe we should give him the city. I mean, he spent ages building those tanks. Yeah. He's obviously a lonely man. I mean, he's motivated. He's got all those tanks together. He's here.
How would I feel if I'd made all those tanks and then I'd suddenly got told I wasn't allowed the bloody city I'd gone to?
I mean,
it sounds brilliant. Yeah, you are. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be there. And then I'll just push it to the next level. I'll be like, right, everybody in the city, give me all your money. And then they'll be like, oh, this is a terrible idea. We can't give you all our money. We need our money. Without our money, the economy will collapse. But then, I guess money is just an abstract concept. And this guy wants it all. And if we all know if you put accounts together, then they make more interest. So maybe it's selfish to keep our own money when we could put it together and make a load of interest.
I don't think that's going to work. It's an amazing idea!
Apart from Stephen Wright, who's immune to the moon to the gas. What are you guys doing?
I'm not giving you my money, you nutter.
Normally I'd yell, shut up, Stephen, but that wouldn't happen. They go, carry on, Stephen, it's a valid viewpoint.
But, yeah, no, because all it would take is, but there's a flaw, I'm afraid. Like, what if there's one person who resists it? Then they're empathising. Who do they empathise with?
Stop arguing with me, Hans. This sketch is
that
perfect.
Amazing.
Yeah, well, you see, I'm the diabolical evil one, so I shall take Stephen, my evil nemesis,
and I'll put him
in a cave. Because,
yeah.
Like, don't forget, I'm immune to it as well. Like, I wouldn't have created it and sprayed it.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I'm not a moron.
Yeah.
And but then the thing, right, like, so then I've got the city, I've got their money. Next thing I do is, like, everyone, kill yourselves. And then I'll be like, oh, I'm not going to kill myself. I mean, this is the, you know, life is sacred, and this is my potentially one chance at existing. And yeah. The humans have been on the Earth for 200,000 years, and we polluted it.
It's probably about time. I would feel very rude if I was did not obey what was on there.
So that's. I'm not sure if that's a valid. I mean, we're all very filled with empathy right now, Mark, but. You know, your justification for killing yourself seems a lot worse than mine. I mean, mine was to sort of save the planet, whereas yours was it would be rude not to.
I've got very warped morals.
What you need is a spray of confidence.
I don't care who I'm rude to, but I am still going to kill myself because it'll be better for the planet.
You're going to kill yourself in the most confident way possible. You're going to go to the top of a building, strip off your clothes, have your penis waggling in the wind and go, I'm here! I'm a man!
It won't be waggling, it'll be swaying.
That's right, Mark!
The wind. That's how confident I am. Yeah. I am Mark, and I'm going to kill myself. I don't care what any of you say.
Watch out! There's a crane! That woman's got deluded spray. It's a ginormous penis! That's right. You know, admittedly, though, Steve, I mean, Mark, you've got confidence. But I'm still not sure that, you know, standing on top of a building, wiggling your admittedly ginormous member is necessarily the way to go. That might suggest another sort of sexual... You might be sexually repressed, Mark. You know, that might be why that's your choice of death, is to sort of have one big kabang after a life of... restrictions. So what I'm going to do is spray you with sexual confidence and then maybe your death will be slightly more normal.
Oh, I suddenly feel very silly up here. I don't need to prove anything to these people.
You don't, Mark. You don't.
I'm Mark and I need to put my pants back on.
And then die!
Kill myself.
Well, you see, my plan is quite simple, really. So now I've taken over the city. I'm still talking to you, Fawn. in case you forget your existence.
I know you're still talking to me. I can tell. That spray is very effective.
I'll tell you something, Fawn. The one good thing of this for you is that you don't have to see that bloody mermaid in the ice skating show she's in. She's terrible. Everyone said it ruins it. You
know
she's
terrible.
There's all these amazing skaters, and then she's sliding through the middle going, hello! Really? They can't fire her because she's got benefits or something.
She's like luggage. They've got to move.
Admittedly, though, her looking remarkably like luggage was inspiration for an entirely new genre of live musical and dance performance where luggage and bags on wheels are just propelled around a stage by a series of magnets and people weep. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
It's a very moving scene in Act 3 where one of the bags falls over and its contents tumble. It was just filled with carry-on luggage. Had a jumper and a load
of... In some ways, we're all just shoeboxes.
Yeah. I think I'm like the wheelie one.
So what
do
you...
wheelie. You idiot.
So what do you think, Ford? I mean, I think it's a pretty good idea.
I think those are all terrible ideas. They sound awful. I think they're the best
ideas. Whoops, that was sexual confidence spray.
I think I am amazing in there. You need to untie me immediately.
Don't you like being tied? Oh no, there was a waft back. I mean, I know I was already remarkably sexually confident.
You didn't make yourself impervious to your own spray with
No.
I didn't want to with that one.
One can always need more sexual confidence. I mean, it's made my voice slightly posher.
That's all sexual confidence is, isn't it? Just being a bit posher. I think I'm like the weedy one.
Jesus does a big wash. I don't know why I have to do the washing, Dad. I mean... You're an omnipresent being. All things are the creation of you and a manifestation of your being. So why am I washing your bits?
I haven't done a whitewash in a long time.
Why do you need to do a whitewash? I mean, why have you even created the necessity? I mean, why do things get dirty?
Don't remember not... Well, because sometimes I'm out playing and they get dirty.
But I know, you're God, right? Right, you're Dad, why did you make it so that things get dirty?
because it's important to learn that
if you wear your pants a few days, they smell funny.
No, where there is light, there's also darkness. And sometimes that darkness is dirt and mud.
So what you're saying to me is that by doing a wash, I'm playing out some sort of role play of good versus evil.
Now you're learning.
Yeah? I think that's bollocks. You know, good and evil.
It's certainly not bollocks. Certainly not.
When you retire and I take over, things aren't going to get dirty. You know, I think you should be rewarded for doing things, not have your pants smell. You know, a man who's highly active shouldn't have to spend more time hanging up his own pants. I mean, that's the world you've created. Think about it, right?
Well,
what are you teaching humanity?
Are you saying that you would like to wear your pants for 3 or 4 days?
I'm saying...
because I'm not willing to wane that
you're
rule.
Such a prude, Dad. Like, it's only disgusting because you make it so that things get dirty.
But if... listen.
You've got psychological issues.
How could you appreciate the value of a nice, crisp, washed pair of pants if you had never understood or felt the dirt of a dirty pant? What is a flower without mud? Wash my clothes.
You know, Dad, you do have a bit of a point there. But, I mean, what you're saying there is that there's like a multi-million dollar washing industry. There's, you know, billions of humans washing their clothes in the river. From a river to a Dyson washing machine. Have you seen those?
They're incredible. Amazing.
They're amazing.
I wish I'd thought of it.
And, you know, there's billions of people having to wash their pants just so you can make a sort of fancy point. You know, I mean, no one really gets that. The only thing that's really, the only real visceral, real implication of the whole washing fiasco is so that you can enjoy clean pants. And you don't even have to wash your own pants.
Yeah, that's why I had you. I had someone to wash my pants.
I mean, what is your thing with pants? I mean, I've thought for a while now...
pants are my gift to humans.
I think humans are your gift to pants. That's what I think.
Have you been talking to?
I think you made humans to model pants.
Who told you these things?
Because you were there on the, you know, sixth day... and you'd made, you know, all these... you'd made New Clapham, or whatever it was called.
New Peckham.
New Peckham. And New Clapham. And the High Street. You made all that.
Mm.
And you made these pants. And you thought, these are great, but what we need is someone... some way of presenting them.
I admit it, I spent 6 days making the most beautiful clothing garment I could imagine. Yeah. Pure white, with a Y, shaped perfectly. But then I thought, yes, a world full of pants is perfect. This is the perfect world. But I need something to allow me to see all angles of the pants in different places. Mm. And what better than humans? And so I invented them to wear pants.
You know,
all of my rules are actually about pants.
See, my problem, Dad, is that, you know, I think in a weird way that's quite beautiful. But I do worry... I do worry because I went in the loft the other day.
Okay.
And I found that box. And I found all the pictures of the gazelles in pants and the ostriches in pants. And you trying all those different animals in pants before clearly you made humans.
It was a trial and error process.
T-Rexes in boxes. That was pretty funny. But
the T-Rex was the perfect pant model. It was made extinct.
But he couldn't change them, could he? That was the flaw.
Needed to change them.
He looked so graceful. What are you wandering through the forest? You know, with his underpants on. But then it came to washing them. His arms were too short to pull them off.
I know, it was a... and was their only flaw. They were the perfect pant modelling creature.
You killed all
I wish that... this is why I drink now, because the Tyrannosaurus Rex was the greatest pant modelling creature.
Well, I know you drink too much, because you're a woman, and you sound like that.
quite husky.
You know, I mean, you've got to think about this, Mum. Like, you made the dinosaurs extinct because they ripped off each other's pants with their teeth.
I told them not to do that. That was the one rule I gave them.
What is it with you and your rules?
I'd give them one rule, and if they break it, I just get rid of them. I said, thou shalt not rip each other's pants. Stop it. You two there now, stop doing that. But it was too late.
Yeah. Well, I'll put the wash on.
Thanks. Is that a Dyson?
Would you like to come and see the bag play with me? That was just a random voice. I hadn't even made a character for that one. That was Robert Brogovich, the greatest actor known to man. Yeah. He's such a good actor. He's been in no films. He just lives life.
Yeah.
He just walks in on, like, he's got this sense of when dramatic things will happen. You know, he'll be in a bus stop and he'll see this woman in her shoe's about to break she's going to fall, but just in front of the bus, but the bus will stop.
Yeah.
And the bus is not going to stop, but this guy just grabs her and saves her. Yeah. And at that point, he'll just slide in and be like, no! Yeah,
pull the perfect face.
Yeah, but he's a bit like, the only downside is he's a bit sort of too classical.
Yeah.
So he doesn't fit in with modern society anymore. Oh, you have saved this maiden, what a wonderful man. And she's like, I want to save myself, you sexist bastard.
Yeah.
Oh, you talk to me with such anger, but I shall express myself.
Such pride, it makes me more attracted to you.
Well, yeah,
get out of the way.
I'm not an object for your affections. I mean, what are you doing? You know, that guy, at least, yeah, thanks, mate. He picked me up in front of the bus. What did you do? You waited and slid in and said something semi-dramatic.
I was waiting for the most dramatic moment to make myself.
You've got mental issues, yeah. You have.
Yes, I do. Deep. Mental issues.
Are you guys going on the bus? No, thanks.
I don't ride the bus. I walk in the rain. Yeah.
The bus will be 5 minutes late. My God.
Boop. Boop. This is 24. Boop. He just walks off into the sunset.
Yeah. Just makes everything really dramatic.
And then he's got. He leaves the tape recorder on and he goes, who was that guy? That was Robert Kabungovich.
Yeah.
The greatest actor. Like, I think acting is subjective, Robert. Shh. I'm going.
Nothing subjective. Or is it? Yeah, you could have played any role better than anyone who's ever played that role.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go for castings and people would be like, well, we can't have an actual fireman play this role.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not an actual fireman. But they wouldn't believe him because he was so good at playing a fireman. They're like, no, he must just be an actual fireman.
Yeah.
You can't have an actual serial.
Yeah.
I'm not an actual serial guy. I'm just really good at acting.
I mean, look, I'm not even dressed as a fireman. I've got an acting CV. I mean, why do you think suddenly that you've got to be a fireman?
Yeah, I mean, I'm dressed as a policeman. That's what firemen must do now. I can only assume that you were a fireman because you're so good at acting a fireman.
If you're that good an actor, right, why haven't you been... You know, why haven't we heard of you, Robert? Why haven't we heard of you? I'll tell you. And I reckon what happened was, Robert, you're talking about yourself in the third person. Yes, the way I do this story is sort of Quentin Tarantino-esque, right? I was in the set of the greatest movie, potentially, of the 2000s. I was going to be in the new Transformers.
Yeah.
I had some lines, some incredible lines. I was going to be the last human who saved Optimus Prime and reborn the planet. The script changed later. But basically, I was there, and the planet was about to explode. And I was there, and my line was to wake up Optimus Prime so that he could get up and save the planet. But I thought, I know what I'll do. Instead of waking Optimus Prime, I'll leave it so the planet detonates, and then I'll wake him. Right? Unfortunately, I destroyed the entire planet because the guys who did the pyrotechnics were incredibly good, and the whole parallel universe was sucked in on itself. Thankfully, because in the explosion, I was sucked into this reality.
Mm. And that's why I moved to New Peckham.
Yes, yeah.
Once the Earth is destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah. Where all Holland and Cowell is set. Is that a crack pipe? Yes. What's Holland & Cal? I have no idea.
So do you want this fireman gig?
Not anymore. Goodbye.
He was the greatest actor they've ever seen. Who left this tape recorder? I had some lines, some incredible lines.
Houston, we have a Starbucks. Chai latte, please. In my mouth. Oh, okay. Call back.
Two lizards, one's about to die. Roll to see if two die. Three or more and you live.
Three or more.
Four or more, you live.
Four or more and I live.
Yeah.
I, the lizard.
Yeah.
Oh, life. It's a funny game, isn't it? I'm played by Robert...
Skrebrovich.
Skrebrovich. What's it all about? This dice roll is about to let me know.
Oh!
I'm alive. I never felt so alive before.
So,
So, Robert, the lizard.
Robert, I mean, you're going to live. And,
yeah, thank God.
I'm going to die.
Yeah.
This lizard's going to die. It's hard to be creative when you've just found out you're going to die.
I know. You never finished that book you were writing.
I'll never finish
you'll
that.
You'll never finish it now.
Do you know what? The one thing I regret, right, in my life...
Yeah, the one
being
thing.
A lizard, no, is spending my entire time just sitting on rocks.
You loved sitting on rocks, though. I mean, yeah, it feels like you wasted that time, but I think those were good times.
I mean, I could have been right, you know, I had that screenplay idea.
You told me about it loads of times.
You know, the lizard that woke up one day and he was a small lizard.
Yeah.
No, he woke up one day. No, he was a baby lizard, and he woke up one day, and he was an adult lizard, right?
Okay.
And then he fell in love with this woman, and he took her to like a toy shop, and they played on, you know, the pianos.
Yeah,
like they did the keys. And
I know
that.
I know the story you've told me before, but I love hearing it.
Yeah, it was called Big Lizard. Yeah. This movie, right? And then basically, she finds out that he has to go back to being a lizard.
Yeah, it was very sad.
And she shits herself. She probably
just lets loose. I mean, literally, just
the last 10 minutes of the film is just explosive, just nervous like diarrhea.
It's like an emoji man out of nowhere. Really catches everyone out left field.
It's just this woman screaming, and just a whirlwind of shit. And he's played by that
baby lizard's going back to his life as a baby lizard. Yeah.
Well, Robert Shredovlevich is there doing his like.
Playing.
He's not a lizard yet, but he's kind of. It's like the fly as well. It's a bit like the fly.
Yeah.
You know, he's there. He's like, no, I fell in love with the lizard. And he's why do you think we spent all that time on rocks in the sun?
Yeah.
She's like, I just thought you were cold.
It's a very moving story, and now.
Now I'm going to die.
What I'm going to do for you is, if you'll let me, I will write that story.
No, this might work. All right, but you've got to credit me.
You have to. You'll be dead. You won't care.
Shit. Well,
I'm gonna let you into a secret. I might write it anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever you say.
Oh God. There's no peace.
What did I tell you?
I'll tell you one other thing I regret. I spent my whole life eating bugs. And I could have eaten anything.
You could have eaten. We were eating other stuff. You guys
used to go to McDonald's. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know how you got away with that. You know. You went. I think. Just, you know, the guy in there was a bit dim, and you went in there and said, you know, burger, and he just thought, this guy, this green sort of 12-inch thing...
And nudged the coins across the
is, you know, pointing at the burger, and he's giving me the money, and it's far easier to give him a burger than to articulate the question, why are you, lizard, trying to buy a McDonald's?
Yeah.
So we, you know...
And I had a loving McDonald's.
But on me, on the other hand, I just ate bugs.
I won't say a Kinder Surprise.
Did you?
Yeah. I had a little toy bike inside.
Nice.
And it was big enough that I could ride it.
Amazing.
But you were still eating bugs. And I feel like I'm a charlatan.
I mean, I spent my whole life just living by the rule book.
Yeah.
You know, and what I realise now is there was no rule book.
No.
So what I was living
what
by...
What were you reading?
Thinking so was, I don't know. I was living by a pamphlet of my own creation.
Yeah.
Which is also a name of a movie.
Yeah.
The Robert could have been starring in.
Could you tell me that?
It was a pamphlet. He found it in the loft. It simply said, live life.
My God, this pamphlet's been here for days.
That's how he explodes.
The pamphlet from the loft.
Just as a massive like...
Why did you save me, Robin? And also, why are you always called Robin in all of your movies? Why did you save me, Robin? You risked your life. You risked everything.
It doesn't even break the fourth wall to call me Robin. And even me saying this doesn't, because that's how good an actor I am. And that's why I saved you.
Look, I told you I'm not a fireman. I can't stop the fire.
Stop calling me instead of
I'm in another movie. This is incredibly... I mean, right now, this is a lizard talking to another lizard that's gone into a movie by Robert Filimonovich, who's having a phone call with a previous sketch. I mean, this is basically incomprehensible. Who are you? I mean, who am I even speaking to?
Someone gave me your number.
Oh, it's the guy who doesn't agree with anything. How? What do you mean you're not? You just said you were. What do you mean you didn't? Could you? Anyway, right. I saved your life because the pamphlet.
Yeah. Robert Skavilovich having to go into a loft just as a concept.
But I go into the loft. Yeah. Where's the stepladder? Oh, I still haven't put the stepladder behind a load of stuff because I haven't used it for ages and I've put like a sleeping bag in front of it. It's really dramatic.
Right? Yeah. It's like the first half an hour is just him going up, going into the loft and having a look around. Yeah. And
the first half an hour is just him looking at the stepladder.
Yeah.
And some people fainted.
Yeah. And he gets to the loft. And then, like, the first thing he says in the whole movie, and it's like a black and white movie, is he, like, opens the thing and he goes, I don't know why we've got all this carpet. We don't need any carpet. And then everyone in the audience, explosive flatulence.
Yeah.
That same woman who's in the other film movies. Who almost dies from like, the Imodium. Oh, it's her again.
It's her again. They're really good on-screen chemistry.
She just explodes in the kitchen and all the windows blow out and it cuts back to him in the loft. Don't know why I chose this life. But
different time back.
Anyway, Lizard, I think judging on this conversation, the fact that you're not really there, I think I'm dying from some sort of brain aneurysm. Now that was tied in.
That was the best, full circle.
I won a podcast Oscar for that.
That had an actual
end. At least Valium sent to me from Robert De Niro. Hey, Jay. Surprise. Oh, yeah, I know it's you. I know it's you, Robert.
Well, you can't play Robert De Niro.
I can
play whatever the damn well hell I like.
Oh, my God.
Can as well.
Is it you, De Niro? I thought it was Robert Cinematovich.
Yeah.
It is. What? I mean, who are you?
It's my new movie. I play everyone. My idea is I'm going to destroy the whole world by using this obnoxious gas. Don't reference any of the other sketches.
It's going to be impossible to edit this, Robert.
There's a fawn here.
No, stop it. If you've got anything you want to say to your mum, say it now.
Well, that was a weird episode.
Tell me about it. I've got to go.
Oh, yeah. See you, Alex.
He was the greatest actor the world had ever known.